you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Right now, this episode this week is a great one. It is David Faustino. You know him as Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Really fun guy. I got to tell you, a really great episode. Really enjoyed doing it. Some wild stories. There's a Beatles story in here that is fucking crazy. That's all I'm going to tell you. It's a good time, too, because everyone is talking about the Beatles. Remember, we do the show every single Wednesday and Saturday. That's twice a week, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can watch live at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. That episode immediately available at gasdigitalnetwork.com in HD, commercial-free, for you to see immediately. That rhymes. Or you wait 5 days, it comes out with commercials wherever you might subscribe or listen to a podcast, be it YouTube, be it Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. However you listen to the show, that's all that matters. Just spread the love. That's all we care about. Here it is right now, the David Faustino episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I got to say this. Normally, I like a lead time before I find out we're going to interview someone because I'm a research lunatic. I can do a deep dive on somebody. But when we get a last-minute option to interview fucking David Faustino, we say fuck yeah and jump right into it. James Mattern back again. Shannon Heyer in the production seat. And David Faustino, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, man. Thank you. Thank you for the great introduction. Good morning.
I mean, how do you say no to Dave Faustino? We found out literally it was like last night or something.
It's been done before.
I'm sure. Hey, you and me right there. Say the same thing. I want to jump right into something. Something that is a very interesting parallel in our lives. Where you and I are roughly the same age. I'm about, I think, 4 or 5 years older than you, if I had to guess. So I grew up in New York. You grew up in L.A., right? Forget about your ridiculous fame over my absolute no fame, but this is what I'm going to talk about. I grew up in New York where it was all hip-hop based. Hip-hop was huge, and I opened a couple of rock clubs. I was a promoter at rock clubs in New York. I'm a both guys. I'll tell you my hip-hop past, which would make Jay cringe if you heard that, in a minute. But
any sense I've ever heard you say. I'll tell you about my hip-hop
past. I can't even say it with a straight fucking face. I can't say it with a straight face, but the reason why I'm bringing this up is that I was in rock clubs surrounded by a world of hip hop, right? You in LA opened up a night called Ballistic. I forget what clubs it was at, but it was like every Thursday night, a hip hop night in LA, which was at a world, not just a rock club, a world of rock that was out there at the time when it was only rock and roll out there. Whiskey, Zagari's, Roxy, everything out there was rock and roll. So we had 180 experiences in that people are saying to me, why the fuck are you opening up a rock club in New York? It's all hip hop. I'm sure you had the exact 180 experience.
Well, our experience was weird because, you know, I happen to be friends with Lou Adler's son, Nick, who I grew up, you know, we grew up together. So it's a nice friend to have. You know, his dad owns the Sunset Strip. So we, you know, because of my fame from Married with Children, and we were both huge hip hop heads, and we were like, yo, you got the club. Your dad's got the club. I've got me. Let's fucking do this. So we just did it, man. And we promoted the shit out of it. And it was a huge thing. But it was at the Whiskey A Go-Go. And they had never had hip hop on. We are the first club to ever bring hip hop to the Sunset Strip. And there had never been hip hop at the Whiskey A Go-Go.
Right,
and there,
I'm sure.
Lou also has partners. So much to their chagrin, we were bringing in young, like, kids that weren't buying that much alcohol.
right. But you're now working on a documentary about that time period, correct?
Yes, I am, man. We basically got it in the can, and we've got everyone, like, interviewed, man, that was in. I mean, we got Will I Am, we got all of Black Eyed Peas. I mean, we've got Ed O'Neill who came to the club. Like, I mean, it just
always
goes on.
Ed is always known for his work in hip hop.
You know, he's just a hip hopping kind of guy. Although I did introduce him to some hip hop. I mean, he actually has a really great taste in music. Is like, in my opinion, he hit me to like a lot of old, you know, 70s soul as when I was a kid that just really opened my mind to different things. You know, of course, I'm slipping on their names right now, but I will come up with them.
In doing all this research and putting this documentary together, were there hip hop people that came out of it?
Sorry, he introduced me to Sam Cooke.
Oh, Sam Cooke. Okay, why? Like, by the way, you scared me the way you just said that out of nowhere. Sam Cooke. Like, whoa. All
right. Sorry, I couldn't listen to a word you were saying until at least one name came.
But if you can't listen to a word that I'm saying, you're right in line with most of the fans of the show. So when you're doing the research and you're looking through, I guess, like old tapes and whatever you're doing, were there a lot of holy shit moments? Like, I didn't know fucking Will I Am was there. I didn't know blah 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 was there. Or because you, I imagine also. We're filming Married with Children a lot. You probably, you know, how active could you be? You're running the club, whatever. Things that you found out in doing this production that you didn't know at the time?
So many things, man. So many things I found out. Like, for instance, I don't know if you're familiar with the artist Shifty from, what's the band?
Crazy Town?
Yes.
We were just talking about it yesterday.
We were just talking about that guy yesterday.
I love Shifty. Well,
yeah. So Seth, I grew up with Seth Benzer, but more we were acquaintances. Like, he was in one crew, I was in another crew. But like, I texted him yesterday after like watching a bunch of the interviews and like putting this thing. I said, "Guy, I didn't know Ballistics was the five.
Six degrees of separation.
Yeah. So 5 degrees of Seth Benzer. Like, dude, he brought Will to the club. Will I Am." Uh-huh. Like, who got discovered by Eazy-E in the club. But like, Seth is the 5 degrees of Ballistics. Like, he is so like involved in everyone's story.
Wow.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. So he was kind of a weird piece, like glue that kind of brought a lot of people to that club.
Is there a release date for this project?
No, we're actually just like chopping it up right now. And we're still getting last minute interviews that were like trickling in. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of piecing it together. We're doing it all ourselves. And then we're going to go out and sell and make a million. No, I'm just kidding. We'll probably make like $100,000.
I heard you do an interview with, you were on one of the dudes from Cypress Hills podcast. And during the podcast is when you found out, oh yeah, he used to come all the time too. Like, you were like, oh shit, we should probably get you for the documentary.
And we did.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
Yeah. Nice. It was B. I think it was Be Real.
Yeah, man, yeah, so, yeah. I think so you're right.
B came down. He was awesome, dude, because he hadn't really come to the club that much, honestly, because they were already on fire. They were already like going. Mm-hmm. Like, as I remember being like a Cypress Hill groupie at the time. And so for him to like pop into the club just a few times and then to come down and do a full hour and a half interview about it was
fucking awesome.
He's a mensch, dude.
You're really speaking to my hip hop roots, Shannon.
Yeah, yeah. Ralph, your hip hop roots. I heard you on one of those fellas from Cypress Hills podcast. First of all, of course, Be Real would be the guy from Cypress Hill with a podcast. I mean, Zendog isn't going to talk in that voice in a podcast for fucking 55 minutes. Let's be
Go
goddamn real.
Fuck yourself, James. How about that? You know, so I will tell you, it was just embarrassing. You're I think, so I'm 51, right? I think you're probably.
It's right here. Can't do much about this.
I said I'm 51 and he left the screen. That's like
he's thinking I can't listen to you for one more
age,
second.
You're talking age, I'm out.
Yeah, by the way, it's like if a girl told me she was 51, I'm like, all right, I gotta go.
Gotta go.
You need coffee.
I was there in New York City. I was a breakdancer in 1983-84. I was in the movie Crush Groove. Yeah. I was very into that early days of hip hop. That's where I get all my street cred, Shannon.
Like, do you have like a moment where you could be like, oh, there I am?
I wish I did. There is no proof, David. The only proof I have is me and my friends were there and we'll all agree to it. Or at least we'll keep saying that till we die.
I love that you have your Christmas tree up, Shannon. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I need a little magic in here.
Right, we don't provide enough magic for you. Fuck you, Shannon.
I also love your decorations, man. The boxes are just.
Yeah, I'm there. I want to have the I'm about to flee the country vibe going.
Yeah, you should just like decorate the boxes somehow. Just put a little, good idea. Little star on the top.
So now, I mean, I want to get into Married in a Minute, obviously. But the thing I found is, I know you come from a show busy family. Your dad worked in wardrobe for showbiz. But the part I find really fascinating, because now it's been a real staple to your career, is he's the one that said to you, you should do voiceovers. You should get into the voice acting game, right? Do you remember? Look at me doing some research. Imagine if I had a full couple of days of doing research, right? So, I mean, now, you know, Legend of Korra, How to Train Your Dragon, Helia, all these things that you've done.
I just booked this new dope gig yesterday, dog, for like this great show.
Oh, and really?
I can't tell you what it is. Yeah, for a dope network. And it's another animated show, but it's like really dope with an amazing cast. I'm super excited about it.
Do you remember?
But I can't tell you anymore. And you know, maybe I'm lying and I didn't really book that job.
And we'll never know. We'll know eventually, I guess. Yeah,
you'll know.
When your father told you this, you know, because it was when you were still on Married with Children, if I'm not mistaken, did you say, like, what the fuck? Like, why would I do this? Like, I'm doing other things and then pivoting towards doing it. And do you remember your first VO gig?
Yeah, it was like kind of his gift to me. I got to be honest. Like, my dad was smart in many things. He told me a lot of things, most of which I didn't listen to. The first thing he told me was, just pay off this house. Fuck what these guys are telling you about your write-offs and all that bullshit. Just pay this fucking house off. Did I listen to him? No. But anyway, he taught me a lot of good things. But the voiceover thing was just kind of another one of his sort of like visions into the future of like, you know, you're on this big show right now. We don't know how many times opportunity knocks, how many times success comes around. Maybe you'll go on to do great things. Maybe you'll need a backup career. And I needed a backup career.
Yeah.
But it worked out tremendously. I went and got an agent and I just love it. I love doing it. I there was a part of me for a while that really did miss the glitz and glam of sort of being on a set. And then as I'm approaching 50, I'm 48. Mm-hmm. I want to be like on sets and do movies, but like, dude, I'm fucking totally fine doing what I'm doing right now as well. Like,
it's a great way to be.
I go downstairs and I like do my auditions and I do my jobs mostly from Source Connect and like do them here. I don't even have to go into the studio on a lot of them.
So let me ask you this, because your name is so fucking identifiable. When you're doing these voiceover auditions, do you sometimes not say who you are because of the predisposed maybe concepts of you as a person, or have you carved out enough of a name already as a VO guy that it doesn't matter?
Yeah, like luckily in the VO world, I'm somewhat respected. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm hoping. And so there's no way around it. You know, you like, because even if you don't have to slate, they know who it is.
Right.
But they're much more open in the VO world. A lot of it is visual. I mean, you got a face that's been, you know, that America and some of the world grew up with for a long time. And now it's like, this face is that familiar. So that's kind of more the issue. It's like, I get to play characters that are superheroes, 6 foot tall badasses that I would never, ever, ever, ever play in real life.
Right. That's pretty awesome.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So now We obviously Married with Children, I think it ran for 11 seasons. And the wild thing about it is this is back when there was four networks. They were the fourth network. So right. The amount of fame that is very different than the fame of today, because it's not like it was, it's a hit. What constitutes a hit now?
Yeah.
Would have been canceled in a week back then.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a different level of fame that I don't think people nowadays could even comprehend. But it did take, I think, the third season was when it finally actually hit, right?
Yeah.
Was there a danger of cancellation at some point, or was the network behind it?
Well, they were behind it. Again, now, when I started the show, I was 12, just approaching 13. So, you know, obviously, I'm getting this all through a 12-year-old filter. But you know, what I remember was that the network loved Ron Levitt and Michael Moy. And I don't know if you guys remember the show they had done before that, a few years before that, called was it It's Your Move?
Was It Your Move with Jason Bateman?
With Jason Bateman.
Wow, that's an amazing show. Was an amazing show, and I didn't sleep for 2 weeks after it got canceled. I
love that show.
It wasn't it a great fucking show?
Oh my god, it was so ahead of its time, that show. Fuck, and I love it.
So good.
So Ron and Michael created that, and Fox took note of that and went, "I like this." The edges. So they approached them and said, "How would you like to write a show where you can say and do anything the fuck you want?" They were like, "Sounds good to us." So that's kind of how it went down. And so they were really behind them. But what happened was the fear of cancellation came in season three when a woman named Terry Ricalta in somewhere in Michigan, a very, 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 very wealthy woman, caught her kids laughing one day. One night, and ran into the room to see what they were laughing at, and saw this smut, this horrific, disgusting smut called Married with Children. And she was successful in, because of her position in life, she was successful in pulling Coca-Cola, McDonald's, like, you know, sponsors you don't want pulled. So it was a big deal. And then, of course, it caught the media caught onto it, and everybody was like, "Yo, what's this fucking show we're not supposed to watch?"
Oh, that's great. Imagine being such a bitter woman that you hear your children laughing and you immediately run in to see what's wrong.
Why
are my children laughing?
Why are they laughing? This can't be right.
And by the way, you said that
there's smiles on their faces.
You saw everything from the filter of a 12-year-old. Sounds a lot like my dating history recently. Hi-o! Okay, no.
So.
I think the seamless delivery driver is at the door. I'll see you guys later. It's time to have some sushi.
All right, so now, obviously, this is an interesting tie-in that I don't know the answer to, so... We've established you're a big hip hop fan. I don't know when you qualify yourself as a hip hop head or just a fan or whatever. I know that's a term that the kids use. But so you're a big hip hop guy even back then, right? Uh-huh. And then there's the Grandmaster B character that you became so synonymous with, right?
Correct.
Was this character created, and excuse me for being harsh, to mock you at the time?
Yeah.
Or was it a character that you brought to the table and they made it part of the show?
No, they were mocking me. They were really good at doing that to all of us. They'd mock Ed about his hair. They'd mock poor Amanda Bierce about her legs, you know, the chicken thing. I mean, whatever you had, whatever insecurity you had, you were getting. I had acne. That's why they always talked about it.
It's so, like Gas Digital, by the way.
Yeah, it's like our network, basically. Yeah,
it's the way you get. Yeah, yeah. Whatever your weaknesses are, just get fucking... exposed. So yeah, so I mean they caught wind of me, like, you know, they were like, "What is it?" I turned hip hop real quick. Like I went from like, you know, white boy music to hip hop like overnight somehow, and then I was taken. So then, like, all of a sudden, cut to like Ice Cube is coming down to visit me on set.
Wow.
Ice-T is coming down to visit me on set. King T, all the, like, you know, all the LA cats. And Mike, the producers are just tripping, like, "What's going on with Dave? You know, like, what's happening?" So they were smart enough to just like, "Yo, let's just incorporate this, you know?" And so they did. They created the Grandmaster B character, in a way it was to mock me. But like, people fell in love with that whole idea. I didn't think it was going to, like, in my mind, maybe because I knew I was being mocked. But I didn't think it was going to go over that big. But people fucking loved it. And to this day, they still...
So the weird thing is, I think we had Charlie Benante from Anthrax on, and at one point he said that being on Married with Children was one of the highlights of his career in Anthrax. I don't, and I could be wrong because I, you know, it is a long time ago. Was hip hop artists ever featured on Married with Children at all, or was it not never a part of it?
Dude, they were pretty behind on the hip hop scope. You know, I mean, and Michael Moy is an African American dude that just wasn't into hip hop, though. You know what I mean? Right. So, yeah, so it was just kind of, yeah, we never really had any dope hip hop artists on the show. But I mean, my sort of ode to hip hop, what I sort of gave from the show was whenever we had two bedroom sets for Bud Bundy. One was the bedroom, one was downstairs in the attic. When we did the first bedroom scene, they allowed me to, you know, put my two cents in on and as to what I'd like. So at that time, Nas, his first album, Illmatic, I had already known about it because I had been reading about it and hearing about it and talking about it. And I knew about his verse from Live at the Barbecue with Main Source. And I knew about that this dude was coming out with this album and I had heard it. So even before it came out, like just like a week or so, I had them fucking tack his poster up on the wall.
That's cool.
And like, dude, it was cool. He took note and made a huge deal of it and was like, yo, we knew when we saw our picture on Bud Bundy's wall that we had made it, that we were on our way to making it.
That's awesome. So as I said earlier, you know, you became this megastar during, you know, pre-social media, pre where things could, you know, you say one thing on a Twitter stream and your whole fucking career could be ruined. That really was not happening for you. And you're rumored. And I know I listened to a couple of things. You're not a guy to tell tales too much about female conquests. You know, I heard you say that you don't want to talk about specific people, which is fine. But I just have to imagine it was raining sniz for 11 years. Am I right?
Now, was that a New York term, sniz?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, yeah. It had to be.
It's a Ralph Sutton original, sir.
There also was a rumor.
Ralph Sutton.
There was a rumor that one of your tutors would even pick out girls in the audience, like, oh, that's a Bud girl for sure. Is that part not true?
Okay. No, that's not true. I mean, you know, like, look. You know, when you're a short dude and like you've got shit to prove, like one of the ways you do it is by like working on your game and being able to talk to ladies even though you're 5'3".
Right.
You know, so that became kind of like a game for me and a fun thing. And so, I had my share of fun times.
Yeah, I know. I heard a few times where people kind of poked the bear a little bit and you backed away. So I'm not going to push too hard on that, but it is fascinating. Yes, James.
That's how a guy who's gotten a lot of ass answers it. Every dude I've ever met, if you're like, hey, do you get a lot of women? I'll get mad pussy. Dude hasn't seen ass since he was born. But the guy who says like, you know, I've danced with a couple girls. Or like once I had a buddy tell me he just wants to kiss a girl before he dies. And I'm like, oh, he's fucking my mother. Like that's so you're a playboy. That's a playboy turns
out,
answer.
By the way, David, it turns out I was fucking his mother.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Cool. I was going to say, Can I get your mom's info before?
Hey, if you are a responsible adult over the age of 21 living in the states where Delta 8 is legal, this message is for you. If you want to get high, really super duper legally high, well, now's the time to head over to yoDelta.com where you can pick up on high quality lab tested Delta 8. What is Delta 8? Well, it's found in hemp and can be legally shipped to most states and gets you high. At yoDelta.com, you can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all of your getting stoned needs. And I can tell you, based on everyone in the fucking office of Gas Digital, it works well. But keep in mind, these products should be taken responsibly. So once more, if you go to yoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the entire Gas Digital Network, you could use the promo code GAS, that's G-A-S, and you're going to get 25% off. 25% of your entire order to just get high, legally, in most of the states. What are you waiting for? I know we don't have the hempire here, but still worth checking out. Vapes and gummies at yoDelta.com. Promo code GAS gets you 25% off. Time to get super duper high with Delta 8 at yoDelta.com. Let's get back into it. So also, you were talking. I know you obviously.
I give you my mom's, but she's dead. So
ironically, maybe they're in the same cemetery. Hey, maybe, so maybe that. Maybe the flowers. So
also, maybe that's James's deal. Maybe you're saying your mom's dead is what James was waiting for. That's his. That's his kink.
That's his thing.
Yeah,
that's
never
a
know.
Real Playboy answer. How are you with women? Oh, I like dead moms. Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay, easy.
So you still? I don't know.
You still talk to Ed? Obviously.
Sorry, guys.
You just brought up. You still talk to Ed? Do you still talk to the other cast members as well?
Yeah, a lot, man. I talk to Ed. I love talking to Ed because he's like talking to an old lady that just won't let you off the phone. Like he, you know, he's just great, man. He'll like get on these conversations and we'll just start going to, he loves the gossip. He's the gossip queen. And we'll just go down the line. And here's a guy who's got like more money than anybody in the whole world, right? He owns a piece of Married with Children. He owns a piece of Modern Family.
Oh, good for
like,
him.
He's like, killing it, right? And yet he'll still find the need to just kind of bash people just for fun on the phone. Like that's just his thing.
That's great. That's awesome.
Make fun. So we do a lot of that, and then we just, you know, we like to just converse on the phone. We have a good time. He comes over to the house. He came over for my daughter's he came over for my mom's memorial. He was here for a few weeks back, and he comes here a lot, and he's just a good dude. You know what I mean? He's like my dad and my friend wrapped in one, and I love the guy.
And it's also cool you did it. You did do an episode of Modern Family, even though you didn't do any scenes with him. It's still cool that you at least were in the. You know, we all know that you two have such a history, so just kind of nice to know that you were in the same room at the same time, so to speak. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So what's funny about that is they were like, by the way, we can stretch to 40. That was my, I was my manager going, I was like, oh, I only want to do a half hour. They were like, he was like, well, they want 40 minutes. I was like, all right, 40 minutes is fine. But now I'm here with you and I'm having fun, so we can keep it moving.
All right. Yay. Rock and roll. We're not assholes, Shannon. Thank God.
except for the guy with the Raiders hat on.
I have a dead mom. Cut me some slack, God.
That's right. You're right. But guess what? My mom's dead too, so it doesn't count. Man,
I'm going to be fucking a lot of dead moms today. Okay, so now... You did that. You said that the funny story about you and Ed doing the show together.
Yes.
Doing Modern Family.
Oh yeah. So no, it was just funny because I wanted to do the show, and then an audition came through, and it was like I thought, oh, Ed, you know, made it happen or whatever. And it was my agent was like, no, we just saw the role, and we put you out there, and they said, you know, not only did I have to audition, but they were like. They said this to my agent. They were like, if he's the second best in the room, he's not going to get it. Just so you know.
Thanks for the pressure warning.
Oh, my God. The pressure was just like, oh, great. If I don't get this, I'm a piece of shit. I suck. And I can't even get on the show like modern. So, like, I worked my balls off on it and went in and thankfully got it. But it was like we didn't even get to have a scene together.
Right. But in a way, you know, but as a fan, I could say just when I watched that episode, just knowing you guys were on the same show, I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. You know, I was able to put two and two together. I'm sure it would have been great to have a scene together, but cool.
just a little something.
Yeah, a little something.
Like, even one of those.
Like a walk by. Yeah. Or something like that. But you had talked a few years ago that almost all the pieces were together for a reboot, but that never transpired. Or is it still in the works?
So with the reboot, what happened was I had actually spearheaded it, believe it or not, with Sony. So I was like an executive producer, creator. Sony was like mad, crazy excited, especially because I had, you know, I had done the due diligence producing work of, you know, talking to a cast that was very tentative at first about it because they're all working, they're all on shows. So I had to like do my producing. I had to put on my producing hat and sell this to them. And by the time I was done, they were like gung ho to do at least 3 episodes per season, which is kind of what they're allowed to do through contract if they're on another show. And if possible to do more. Ed was like the first one that was like, fuck it. All right, let's do it. And then Christina and then Katie followed suit. So I went in, and then I have Michael Moy, half the team that created the show, with me. Mm-hmm. So we go in with this powerhouse, and Sony's just like, let's do it.
How could they not, right?
Yeah, they're like, fuck it, let's go. What are we waiting for? Well, what we're waiting for is, and I'm not going to mention a name, except it's the other, except it's the other creator's son, not Michael Moy, but the other creator.
Oh yeah.
Here's, I'm not going to say his name, but here's everything you need to know who he was.
I'm not going to put him on blast right now because, you know, you never know what can happen in the future. But the bottom line is he's made it extremely difficult and impossible, really impossible, to make this thing go forward. And it's all due to a young man who has too much power over the show. It's too shocking.
Bad. That is fucking weird.
When a whole company like Sony wants to do it. And so that was a real bummer, but there is the rumor of doing it a different version of it.
You did a show years ago called Starving where they were all on it anyway, right? They kind of all came on.
They all came on, yeah.
Right. So
I ruined that show because I went, you know, like when you go overboard, like there was some scenes that went like way overboard. It was so nasty that Sony literally expunged it from the web. Bro.
It doesn't exist anywhere.
You cannot find it any fucking where. And we're kind of proud of that because that's how like out there it was. We took it to 11.
And by the way, this to me is a good indication how popular Married with Children was, right? This is a good statement. Apparently, George Harrison of the Beatles said to David Faustino, please let Christina Applegate know I want to lick her clit.
What?
Am I right in that statement?
Close enough? I didn't see any of that on Get Back on Disney Plus, the 8 hours I just watched. Whoa.
Is it about George? Yeah. What's so funny about George is, you know, we always hear the shy, quiet one, the shy, quiet one, the shy, quiet one. He was the biggest fucking poonhound you could ever imagine. I think he was the worst of all of them.
Well, you just, by the way, proved James' theory. The guy that's quiet is the one that's the one that's the worst.
Lennon probably bragged about ass. Fucking George wouldn't say nothing.
There you have it. And there you have it.
How did he break bread with that story? Hey there, buddy. By the way,
if you got a second, I'll tell you.
We have all the time in the world, dude. You're the one that gave us time constraints.
So George Harrison pussy stories. Let's do a five-parter and let's do a crossover with one of those guys from Cypress Hills podcast. Can we get on that too?
We'll somehow try to interweave that. So funny story. It's just so LA, dude. This is such a LA fucking story. So there's this guy, this old Chinese dude, right, named Zion Yu, who's like a fourth generation acupuncturist, Chinese acupuncturist. So the needles are quite thick on the and he ran his business out of his home in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. Well, what a lot of people don't know, he actually got stripped of his license for like indecent kind of touching with women.
Oh, okay. My kind of guy.
And yet he was still working with huge stars, dude. I would see like just huge, like you were talking George Harrison type people, right? So even though he had his license strip, all these people were going to him because he's a great acupuncturist. However, there were still rumors that he was like doing things that weren't so great. He was a great acupuncturist to men, but I don't think I think he had a problem with women. I think that was his weakness and his downfall. Right. Anyway, long story short, there was still like he would have parties, like weird parties where people would have like needles sticking in their heads. And like it was like a real like Andy Warhol kind of like acupuncture Warhol. It was weird. So I'm laying in this bed and I get there. And there's no one there. I think Zion opens the door. Oh, David, come on in. So I go in and I I hate fucking acupuncture. Like, I don't even know why I'm going because it's like the total opposite of what's supposed to happen, which is relax you. I'm just like completely because there's needles in me and I can't relax. So I'm laying there naked. I got like just a one towel over my thing there. Mm-hmm. And in walks George, Zion walks in. He goes, oh, David, George Harrison, he wants to talk to you. I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
He walks in the room. I'm naked. And he starts talking. He goes, hey, David, I'm such a giant fan of Married with Children. It's like one of my favorite shows. I love it so much. He goes on and on, like about what a fan it is. And I'm just tripping because I'm like, I've just discovered Beatles like 5 years before that. And I was like a massive fan. And just to have like a Beatle while you're naked telling you like what a fan they are of you and like how much crazy. It was so weird. So then he goes, that sister of yours, huh? I go, yeah. He goes, she's real beautiful, huh? He goes, yeah. He goes, I like to eat her pussy. I said, just like that. I said, okay. He goes, you tell her, I bet she never met a clit-licking beetle before. That was his exact
Oh, my God. Quote.
That's the exact quote because it's burned in my consciousness.
How could it not be?
I bet she never met a clit-licking beetle before.
That's and you should have said, joke's on you. John Lennon's already been there twice.
Hey!
Guys.
Well done.
George Harrison. George Harrison wrote My Sweet Lord. Just to put this into perspective.
Yeah.
My Sweet Lord.
His favorite of mine is the Blue Jay Way that he wrote.
Yeah.
That street. Was, I live literally like four blocks from Blue Jay Way.
My favorite one, it's on a lesser known album. It was called Clit Licking Beetle. It was a beautiful song.
It was a good one. It was more of one of their underground.
It didn't really hit any of the charts, but it holds a little special place in my heart. By the way, here's a great story that I'm sure.
Just to end it really quick. Yeah. So I'm laying, he leaves, right? So now I'm just laying there for like the next, what can you say? All you're thinking about is George Harrison just came in here. He saw me naked and he says he's going to eat Christina Applegate's pussy. What do I do? So then I go in and I'm like, I said, I went in and I said, goodbye, George. Nice to meet you. He goes, yes. So I'm going to tell Christina tomorrow. He goes, yo, please do.
Oh, my
please
God. This is a brilliant idea. There's no way this doesn't go well.
I want to eat her pussy. He kept going. The next day I went to work because I had work the next day and I gathered the cast around the couch and Jerry Cohen, the director, was there. And I just told him the story. Christina's face was like bright fucking red. But everybody was fascinated because it's George fucking Harrison.
Right.
You know?
But I bet you 99% of the time, all he needs to do is tell that girl George Harrison's a clit-licking beetle, and it works. How could that not work? He's fucking George Harrison.
I know, but at that time, I mean, how old? I mean, Christina,
yeah, he was probably 60 at that point, right? And she was 18 or something like that.
You know how girls are. As soon as we turn 50, they step right over our bodies.
You better watch yourself, sir. I'm 51. I'll punch you right in the mouth.
Do you think she's still traumatized? Like, if you're on set with Christina and someone just puts on Wama Guitar Gently Weeps, does it freak her out? Like, I'll never listen to Taxman again.
Or she starts getting wet. Story. You never know.
No, we still laugh about it, man. And she's still, you know, it was just one of those shocking things that you never think you're going to hear from a Beatle or George Harrison.
Let's be honest, maybe Ringo. I mean, when he was drinking Ringo when he's out getting drunk in the 70s with Alice Cooper, fuck it, maybe.
By the way,
who wants Ringo to eat their pussy?
The nose gets in the way.
Guys, I want a pussy just so Ringo can eat it. Let's go. I'm going to go with the hottest it takes. The hottest it takes, David.
By
Pesquino.
The way, I just feel this needs to be said just because, you know, we have another similarity that I just realized. I did a TV show with Christina Applegate once.
Which one?
I was on Samantha Who for one episode.
Okay.
Yeah, because my friend is Jennifer
Esposito.
That show,
but that's
it was only on for a season. But my friend is an actress named Jennifer Esposito. She played her best friend. And okay. Jen got us flown out to, me and my brother flown out to L.A. to just stand in the background like jackasses. But I did get to meet Christina that day.
Oh, dope. I'm loving hearing about all your extra work. It's awesome. that's two flicks you've done extra work. And let me know the more.
Is there proof of that, Ralph?
There is proof of that. I showed it on the show. I showed it on the show once. There is clearly proof of that.
Yeah. There's proof of him. He's actually dancing in that and not in Crush Groove.
I was with Melissa McCarthy and Christina Applegate. Pretty wild. All right, before we go any further, God, we love these guys. You know them well. It is Yo Kratom. You know Shannon. She's addicted to the train wreck Yo Kratom, available exclusively at YoKratom.com. It's a mix of about, I think, 10 or 11 strains of Kratom that makes her happy. It makes her be able to tolerate me. So you'd think on that reason alone, you should probably go check out YoKratom.com and get that $60 kilo. An unheard of price. $60 for a kilo. Elsewhere, $120, $180, $400 maybe? I don't know. But at YoKratom.com, it's the home of the $60 kilo. No more wondering how long that Kratom's been sitting at the gas station at the bodega. No more paying idiotic prices. High quality curated Kratom. Wholesale prices direct to you at YoKratom.com. The $60 kilo is your answer to all your Kratom needs. So once again, go to YoKratom.com. stock up on those $60 kilos of kratom. All right, let's get back into it. So now currently you're doing a show Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on Dash Radio where you DJ and tell stories as well, correct?
Yeah, so what I do on Wednesdays, I'm actually going to follow. Okay, so I need you guys' advice on this now that I have you here. So I've been doing a radio show on Dash Radio, which is DJ Ski's radio. It's kind of, well, it's internet radio, right? So you have like, what, your 60 channels to choose from. It's a really cool interface. And some of the interfaces are going actually into vehicles now where you can have the Dash app. But like I've been doing like shows there for like hosted shows like you guys are doing for about 4 or 5 years. And it was fun and I had a blast. But like I don't feel like the listenership was up there. Right. Mm-hmm. But my music is my show is so music inspired. But you can't really play music on a podcast, right? Like,
well, I mean, you can, but you just can't put it in certain places. The girl behind you has been really in the same exact position for 45 minutes. It's freaking me out. I don't know who that is.
It's a picture.
I know that. It's just funny. It looks like
my fucking dead mom. Don't talk. Oh, is it? Wow.
No, it's such a good, like, it really looks real. The size is right that for a second it looked real. We lost James. He got upset. So I would say this. If it doesn't go on YouTube,
my mom creeping you out.
No, if it doesn't go on YouTube, David, you can monetize. So if you don't put it on YouTube, it doesn't matter if you play the music. For now, it may change at some point, but right now, no, there's no FCC involvement with podcasting. Really, you're not going to get any warnings on a regular podcast.
Smaller
platform.
Clips too, right?
Yeah, like it's fine. It really is fine. It's just YouTube will flag it. But podcast is primarily an auditory platform, not a visual. So there's no reason to even really worry about it. That's my opinion.
So what I did was I stopped doing the show because I didn't feel like the listenership was high enough and I felt like I was kind of wasting my time. Mm-hmm. So now I just spin records because I'm really into spinning records. And I do a 1 hour show Wednesdays at 5 o'clock on Dash. 5 o'clock Pacific.
8 p.m. us. Yeah, 8 p.m.
8 p.m. you guys. And I just spin records and talk about my favorite records. And we just spin hip hop and have a good time.
I was in that studio once. Those Dash Radio studios in L.A. were fucking unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah, they're dope. I still don't know how they're money making.
Me either. I actually asked them that when I was there. I was there right before the pandemic. I'm like, how are you guys paying for this?
I have no clue.
That's fucking great.
I'll tell you one thing. I know one way. They're not paying anyone anything.
That's great. It doesn't matter, though. You should do a podcast, dude. I think you would kill as a podcast.
I got to do a podcast, bro. I don't know.
If you want, I added you already on Instagram. We have a whole network. We get millions of listeners. I will, we could talk about it. I really think you'd be great at it. I really do.
I'd love to talk to you guys about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I know you're on Cameo, so we'll mention that as well. I saw you do a few cameos. Have you gotten any bizarre Cameo requests yet? Like, really, like, oh, I can't do that.
Well, I mean, I get some. The only ones that I don't do are like the guys who like try to sneak in ads. They're like, yo, what's up, man? Blah, blah, blah. So, but we're a big fan. Hey, tell everybody come down to Bubba's Car Shop on Saturday. I'm just like, I'll just say to them, I'll reply. I'll say, hey, man, like, love to give you a shout out. And I can shout out your place, but I'm not going to say, hey, calm down for $100.
Tell you another one that people were doing for a while is they would sneak in things that you would never know are like a white supremacy group. And then they put out, oh, so-and-so endorses this group. And so I would always look at what you're saying. If it's not just some dude named Dave or a guy named Johnny, just Google whatever the fuck it is before you say it is my only piece of advice. So we'll do the first because we have time. We'll do the first real quick. We'll wrap this up. I don't want to take up any more of your time.
The first time ever I saw
the name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. We've been doing it for about 6 years. We ask every guest this since the dawn of time. Your first.
Wait, I wanted to tell you my favorite, my weirdest cameo really quick.
Oh, sure. Please do. Please do.
Yeah. So a guy, the best one was a guy just hysterical. He cameo. Can you please read me a bedtime story? So I got all snuggly. I got the camera set, the lights low. I got out like one of my daughter's books. I can't remember. It was the perfect one. And sure as shit, I read this dude a little.
It should have been Everybody Poops. That would have been great.
Oh, shit. I should have.
That's fucking cool. That seems a little creepy. Hopefully he wasn't masturbating.
But
to
you
it,
know, but you could tell just by his vibe and his picture. And he did a video request while he talked. Uh-huh. He's just one of those guys that's fucking hilarious.
That's great, though. I love it. So the name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock.
Are you jerking off to it right now?
I am. That's why you can only see one hand.
No, him.
I am too, buddy. So we ask every guest that since the show started their first experience with sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We start with rock and roll, but what we mean is the first concert you went to, hopefully on your own volition, you know, but what you think of as the first concert you went to.
Honestly, you'll be shocked. There's two. The first main one as a youngster that really like had an effect on me was actually George Michael.
Wow. There's a new documentary that just came out. It's like,
dude, he's fucking brilliant.
He was brilliant. Loved everything about it. His own documentary stunk, though, because he was too involved with it. Like, you know, whenever the person is involved, they try and paint too pretty of a picture. So you need somebody else to do it. But that's great. How old were you?
I was very young. I was about 12 and a half, 13 years old.
That's great.
And the kid, do you remember the show Growing Pains?
Of course.
Yeah. You remember the younger brother, Jeremy Miller? He played
I remember the character. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So he was a good kid and still is a great guy. He became a chef, actually. Really, really great chef. But bottom line is he invited for his 13th birthday. He invited... by the way, he was never allowed in ballistics. His parents were really strict. But for his 13th birthday, he invited about 10 to 15 of his like little celebrity friends. I remember Jenny Lewis, the singer, was with us.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And we went, and I was like, George Michael. I was blown away by him. Like, even at that age, I was just like, he was a tremendous performer. And I was blown away by it. So that was my first. The second was down at the Celebrity Anaheim Theater watching NWA.
Oh, wow. What a 180. Jesus.
Murder a center stage and like an entire brawl just breaking out. Just people fucking bashing each other. I went from like, you know, it's polar opposites.
Yeah. One of my first was Beastie Boys, Run DMC, and Madison Square Garden, and a very famous, well-documented race riot broke out. Like a little race riot broke out in between the two shows, and they had to calm everybody down. It was pretty wild. It was a pretty crazy, intense experience.
Wow.
the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug?
Mushrooms.
And did we like it? Didn't like it? Stayed with it for a bit?
I liked them for a while, but I was always... I mean, I was never a good tripper because I always was in my head too much. You know, mm-hmm. I was one of those guys that like couldn't let go. Like I had my buddies who would like drop acid and just like, hey, just like go with the flow, be talking to ladies, like doing whatever. And I was kind of like, you know, so it was like it lasted for a while. I enjoyed it. And then it just kind of I kind of filtered out from that. But I still do enjoy my marijuana.
I heard that in that Be Real episode, you guys talked about marijuana a lot. And you brought up the chef thing. You definitely talked about food a lot. You seem to be very into where to go for the right meals. You mentioned some Italian restaurants, some Mexican restaurant. Sorry, not Mexican, Cuban. Food is a big part of your life, I'm guessing. Me too. I mean, food is one of the true essential happinesses in my life.
Well, I mean, you're in New York, so you have the best food everywhere.
Yeah, right. For sure. I actually went to cooking school and ran a French restaurant for 4 years. Okay, now, the first time you had sex, because this has got to be a story. I mean, you were 12.
Dude, my first sex story is so whack. I was in, there was a club out here called Alfie Soda Pop Club that all the teenagers, celebrity, you know, Alyssa Milano was so hot back then. Like, every dude was just like when I would try to talk to her, I was just like, I mean, I was just totally tongue-tied. Wait, you asked me my
first time having sex.
Oh yeah. So it was with Alyssa. No, it wasn't. So it was at the guy who ran the club, this dude, Alfie. Like, there would be like a bunch of seedy folks that would go back to his crib after. And there was this girl that, you know, one, and I had my Run DMC, talking about Run DMC. You remember the Run DMC sweater? It was like,
of course. Yeah.
It was like and it was hot and it was heavy. And I was like feeling fat and I didn't want to take it off because it was like soft and pudgy.
Did you keep it on during sex, David?
I kept on my Run DMC sweater during sex in a closet, sweating profusely.
Wait a minute. How old are you?
14.
Oh, so you're already, I mean, you are David Faustino already at that point. So that's crazy. You know,
You would think it would be somewhere better than the closet with a Run DMC.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Alyssa. I really thought it was going to be Alyssa Milano. You had me in the first part of that. Yeah.
Now, sadly, it never was.
All right. So you follow him everywhere at David Faustino. As you said, he's doing the cameo as well. The documentary, Ballistics, on the documentary is coming out sometime soon. And you're doing your radio show every Wednesday. I think it was at 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern time. And also, you can... just be a fucking fan of this dude forever, because holy shit, man, I'm looking forward to that new secret project that you can't tell us about that you're going to be VOing as well.
I'm really excited about it. Honestly, it's probably one of my favorite, more exciting gigs coming up. Can I throw out a couple of shameless plugs?
Everything you want to get out now, please.
Yeah, just so you, I mean, you said most of it. Follow me, please, at David Faustino across the board. And that's, I believe, on Cameo as well. And then DJing, again, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Dash Radio. And it's on the station Native Rhymes. So you just click Native Rhymes. And also, I am open for bookings. I just DJed Mandalay Bay in Vegas, opening for Akon. That was dope and it went amazing. So I'm doing a lot of DJing right now. So if you're looking for a 90s themed party, I love doing 90s themed party. They're really big right now. So I'm your boy. Find me and Robbie Cast Management. You can find me.
And also apparently maybe a new podcast on this very network. You never know. All right, James, your plugs, please, James.
Yo, man, the James Madden on Instagram. Also, my new album is out. It is me doing the Check Spot. It's called The Check Spot. People pay their bills and ask me drunken questions. Debuted at number one. We're a little lower in the charts now. We're behind Cosby. I can't allow that these days, everybody. I can't fucking allow that. So get that. And launching in January, my new podcast with Shuli Agar, formerly of The Stern Show. Thanks for coming out. A podcast about bombing. Comedians tell stories about bombing and their early shitty jokes. Fuck yeah, baby. Yeah.
And now, Shannon, your plugs?
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have interesting people from all walks of life, comedians, reality TV stars, porn stars, musicians, come on and tell their own stories about their worst date experiences, a street fight they've been in, and an experience with the paranormal.
Okay, now, David,
did you say porn stars?
Yes.
David, don't react to this, but we try and guess every week if our guest does believe or does not believe in the supernatural. Don't react to what we say. I'm going to say yes. Shannon?
I've been actually thinking about this all day because I knew this was going to come up.
When you say supernatural, what do you mean?
Well, it means whatever you want it to mean, I'd say, is the best way to put it. You could take it as you leave it. What is your answer, Shannon? You can't pontificate.
I'm going to say yes.
James, your answer?
Italians go, it could go either way. They're either old country, Malloy shit like that, or it's bullshit. That's what pussies do. My great grandpa had a job with a nickel. I'm going to go, just to make it fun, I'm going to go, no, I'm going to go that he's old school Italian that
way. All right, now, yeah. David, what is your answer?
No, I'm very much into like ethereal and sort of spiritual creating. When I'm on my game and I'm putting out like, really like positive things, and I'm putting out like, for lack of a prayer or vibrations, it always comes back good. When I'm being like a douchebag and like being an asshole and not handling my stuff or being an addiction or anything like that, like then shit falls apart. It's pretty simple.
All right, so I'm getting a resounding yes out of that.
Are there ghosts, David? David, do you think there's specters? Any kind of a specter out there?
Oh, that I don't know. I hope my mom is with me, but I don't know. I mean you know.
By all my accounts, your mom is directly over your right shoulder. So I say your mom is with you.
Let's creep you guys out. That's my mom.
So what is it though? Are we looking at it? Looks three dimensional.
It's a good picture. That's what it is, Ralph.
It's a picture. It looks 3D to me. It's pretty wild.
Ralph, he has Fox money. Of course he gets a good picture of his mom. I got fucking gas money. I don't even got a portrait. What are we doing?
And also, before I do my last minute plugs, I looked at your Instagram. You look like the happiest dad in the world, dude. So that's very, you know, congratulations to that.
Not only that, but I'm the world's dopest.
Oh, I get it. Dopest. Yeah. Whoa, I get it. All right, so follow me everywhere. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness comes out every Monday with the founder of the Juice Press. It's called the Good Sugar Podcast, GSP. David, I knew we were going to have a good time with you, man. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. We're going to pick a song of the week. We always add one to the SDRshow.com playlist. You want to do something from Nas? Do you have anything in your mind you want us to play? We'll add it to our playlist.
From Nas
or
from
anything anyone? You want, whatever you want.
We were talking about Cypress Hill like today. Let's give a little shot to Bill. What's like, let's just do like either Insane? Dr. Green Thumb or Insane in the Membrane.
All right, we'll do it. We'll add Insane in the Membrane, and that's it. We'll see you next time on the SDR show. David, thank you so much for being a part of it.
Thank you for having me. Had a blast, guys.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.